This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi na'hmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'aghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu falamu dillala wa man yudlil falahadiyala. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, who came with the deen, with a way of life that is only acceptable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. The beginning of Surah Ali Imran, that we find the only way of life that is acceptable in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Islam. And likewise in the same surah, in the 85th chapter, we find the 85th verse, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ دِينًا إِسْلَامًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever chooses any other way of life other than al-Islam, it will not be accepted from that individual. Thus Islam has been chosen and has been perfected. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th chapter, verse number 3, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have chosen for you Islam as your way of life. That is the way of life for all of us, selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of the Anbiya came with the same basic elementary belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deenuhum wahid, walakin ummahatuhum shatta. Their way of life, their message is one. Their mothers are at variance, different mothers that they had. And likewise today we find, unfortunately, inna sa'yakum lashatta. Your directions are many, various directions that the human beings are beginning to take of turning away from the supreme legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So awwalan, firstly, the Muslim should firstly begin to develop within himself the belief in the return of the sharia, the control and legislation via the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thus you find various blessings or prophecies of the future. وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. He is the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent his messenger with the guidance and the right way of life, that it may prevail over all other ways of life. That is the reality of the sharia. That is the reality of the Islamic law, that it has come to supersede, to override all other ways of life. It is a faith that one should not begin to turn aside, a faith which is a dominant faith, which is out to preach, to let people know that which will benefit them. Thus, as Muslims, if we go back and look at maqasid al-sharia, the intent of the Islamic law, it's not as many of us as we think or we perceive to perfect or to protect the Muslim identity. Maqasid al-sharia is based upon five basic principles: hifd al-deen, hifd al-ird, hifd al-mal, hifd al-nafs, protection of one's wealth, one's mind, one's soul, one's honor, one's dignity, one's religion, one's way of life. That is the intent of the Islamic law, from whichever perception or from which angle we perceive it. Something which is halal in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit the mind, the religion, the wealth, the property, the soul of that individual. Anything which is haram, impermissible, will destroy your mind, your wealth, your property, etc. That is how simple the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for you. That is the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الدِّينُ الْحَنَفِيَّ The pure monotheistic belief, the pure submission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed no hardship inside this deen. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجْ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ This is the deen which has no obstacles, no difficulties, no hardships. Something plain and simple that a person who begins to implement the teachings of the Qur'an, the sunnah, will have a blessed life inside this dunya and likewise inside the akhirah. Whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا We will give that individual a good life. That is what every single individual, quite frankly, is searching for, the good life. What is the good life? What is a good life that the Western world is trying to perceive upon us? That the so-called Sharia is barbaric. The so-called Sharia is medieval. The so-called Sharia does not fit into the 21st century. The so-called Sharia is no longer applicable today. It's a dream. It's an imagination that once previously used to exist. It will never come back ever again. These are the slogans and the perceptions which have begun to infiltrate our minds and our hearts, that even the average Muslim begins to think that how will the Sharia be dominant once again? So the individual has to go back and understand the intent of the Islamic law. It's not barbaric. It has been placed there to preserve the human being, not to preserve the Muslim, the human being. Islam came to preserve the identity, the wealth, the belongings, the mind, the soul of every single human being, to take them out of the realms of the darknesses and bring them to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a clear intent of the Sharia, to give you that good life, that life that these people are searching for, that they want to come and tell us that you have a barbaric religion, a barbaric interpretation of the Quran, that this form of barbaric belief will not benefit you in any way. But we are happy with this medieval book. We are happy with the medieval teachings that have been told for us to carry out and implement in our life. We don't have any quarrels or qualms about our law. We are happy to implement and live by it. You are the ones that seem to have a problem about our rules and regulations. We want to develop them amongst ourselves. We don't want to incorporate them upon you. But we just want to advise you individuals that that search for peace that you're looking for, that a so-called that people come and tell us or bring us down to our knees, that we want to develop within you the American dream. Firstly, there is no American dream. It's an American nightmare. There is no dream that you believe there could be a dream that exists out there. And that's in the search for that hayat and tayyiba, that search for that peace, that good life, that they are searching for. Their search for the good life begins to make them focus into all types of muharramat, all types of evil actions, all types of fawahish, till eventually they lose their senses from moving from one law to another law, to what becomes illegal yesterday to what becomes legal today, from adults down to teenagers, from teenagers possibly down, may Allah forbid, down to children, because the likes and the desires and the temptations of the people is what concerns the average individual. Till eventually people begin to follow their lust and their desires. And thus you find that the Quranic perception, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ Fighting has been prescribed for you. And we know that fighting is something despicable to the human nature. That's what the Quran is highlighting. No man wants to go and spill his blood or take another man's property or land or their honor or their dignity. But it's something which has been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the time is right. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ la ta'lamun. That's how simple the Sharia is. Perhaps you despise something, but it is good for you. And perhaps you love or you like something, and it is bad for you. Allah knows, and you don't know. So we are judging according to the mindset of the human being. The use of the rationale, the use of the intellect is dangerous in Islam. That if something doesn't fit into your mind scope, into your aql, into your rationale, then you're going to reject it. We shouldn't fall into that trap. That rationalistically, how is the Sharia applicable today? We don't need to worry about that. We give the preference of the naql over the aql. That's how simple Islam is. Preference of the text. Yani zahiran, apparent meaning of the text is the safest stance to take for a Muslim, to follow them and to implement them inside their life. The Quran tells us this is something haram, it's haram. No need to bring a new interpretation, new ta'wil. Living in the 21st century, well, possibly it means this, it means that, it could mean that. The Quran says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Inside Surah An-Nur, the 24th chapter of the Quran says to the believing men to lower their gazes and to guard their private parts. What's the new modern day ta'wilat of this? What do we find? 3D, IMAX, television screens, whatever it may be, the new cinema world. It's not really visualizing a woman. But what's the Quran saying? وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, say to the believing men to lower their gazes. Then it says, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفُظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. Then it says to the believing women, lower your gazes and guard your private parts. So we ourselves, يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. We're making takhrib of our own home with our own hands. By beginning to give a shallow interpretation of Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was deen yesterday should be deen today, especially asasiyat. Fundamental beliefs should be exactly the same. Certain aspects, tertiary aspects may begin to change according to the nature of the human being. Certain things, but the primary goal of the Sharia is the same. That's you find the ulama they mention for Usul al-Fiqh. What's the intent of the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is jalbul musalih wa daf'ul mafasid. Is to encourage the good, things which are beneficial, and to prevent the evil. That's what the Sharia is based upon. At times you find to stop evil takes more important, a more paramount role than the spreading of good. Because at times people naturally come towards the good. So that's you find Islam, saddu dhari'a, closing the doors to that which leads to haram. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ السَّبِيلَ. Quran doesn't say, don't commit zina. لا تقربوا الزنا سد الأبواب سد الذريعة. Anything that leads to zina, ولو كان التعليم, education, ولو كان شغل, work, whatever it may be, if the end result begins to lead towards محرمات الفواحش, lewdness, promiscuity, sexual misconduct, فهو حرام. خلاص ما في نقاش, becomes haram. No matter what anyone may say, the end result is something which is dangerous to the element of the human being, creating fitan and fasad inside a human being. It needs to be clamped down upon. That's what the Islam is encouraging. That you find, United States of America at the moment, whilst we begin to build institutes of learning for men and women inside the Muslim empire, you know what they're building at the moment? They are building single-sex gender universities. They're the only way that a man is going to excel in his education if he lives according to that life. The only way a woman is going to excel inside education if she follows that pattern of education. This is, quote, unquote, the great United States of America. That's what they're developing at the moment. As we, the so-called civilized Islamic world, begin to drift away from our teachings and begin to think that we need to follow this. This is the way that we're going to be successful once again. We don't need to have the advancements of the dunya. They're important. But that is not the real intent of the Sharia. وَعِدُّ لَهُمْ أَسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Prepare whatever you need. The steeds of warfare. You need them. But that's not the essence. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Wasn't you, Ya Rasulullah, that threw on that day? You didn't throw on that day. It's just a physical action. It was us that threw. It was Allah that threw, that dust went into the eyes of the enemies. That's what the Sharia is. That yaqeen, that certainty, that belief, that conviction. Poor, destitute, Bedouin, downtrodden Arabs. What happened to them? It's not a dream. It's a reality. They ruled and they conquered most of this globe. That's a reality. Read it. It existed. And inshallah, once again, it'll exist once again. That people once again will rise with that same mentality, with that same simplicity. And signs are already beginning to take place of simple individuals, of causing mass problems for the wider world, mass misunderstandings of how can we tolerate such people? What can we do to remove such people? Or people have this simple way of life. What can we do in a so-called civilized world? How can we begin to better these individuals or give them the great way of life? So in that search for the great way of life, these individuals that they have, they're searching for that. Go and fix your own home, is a famous Arab proverb. Fix your own home before you come to our life and tell us about our rules and regulations and reinterpretate our rules and regulations. Every year, approximately 50,000 people commit suicide inside America. 50,000 people. And I don't want to sound too gruesome tonight, but the average way is to take a double-barrel shotgun and blow your brains out. That is the most common form of taking your life. The great American dream. The great dream that you believe in. One in three American teenagers have contemplated suicide. Not looking at the face of Osama bin Laden or pictures of Taliban. Maybe the pictures of Bush or somebody else. But one in three American teenagers have contemplated what? To commit suicide in their life. What's that got to do with me? What's that got to do with Islam? If this is supposed to be the great dream, the great life. Well, let's look at this country. Approximately 5,700 odd individuals committed suicide in 1990 or so. They boasted these are the lowest figures since 1979. Boasting these are the lowest figures since 1979. 5,700 odd individuals have committed suicide, taken their lives. The Scandinavian countries, where you find the best, highest rate of living, of life, they even the prisons become a five-star hotel for you. But yet you find you walk into work one day and you find, where's your colleague? Well, he's just gone to God on his way. Wants to travel to God slightly early. Why? You possess everything that you have. Blonde hair, blue-eyed, fair skin, a good job. It's all there, isn't it? So why have you made that journey to God? Did we compel you to make that journey to God? Did we force you? We're happy living in a mud house. We're happy picking up the food from the ground. We're happy eating it. We're happy using the water. We can't find water. We use the dust. We offer our prayers. That's our life. That's how simple it is. So it looks like you're searching for that tranquility. You're searching for that peace. Allah bi dhikri lay tatma'innu al-qulub. Indeed, the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find that tranquility and that peace. The average population of this country coming up to 60 million plus. In my last reading, 21 million people in this country are taking antidepressant tablets. 21 million people are artificially happy. The government has moved from spending 160 million to 280 million pounds to give peace and tranquility and create happiness. 21 million people. Something to think about. So why should we be so worried about that the Sharia, as they try to say, is barbaric? The Sharia gives no contentment. The Sharia doesn't give a way of life. Doesn't create stability. These are all doubts which are being thrown into our mind, into our hearts, to make us develop that there is no love of the Sharia. There is no Sharia. The Sharia is a medieval practice. The amputating of hands, the executions. Well, the death penalty still exists inside America at the moment in certain states. Gruesome way to die. To be tied up to an electric chair and to be electrocuted or to be injected. What are the forms of punishment inside the Sharia? You really think it's as these tabloids, junk mail that people read? Chop off a man's hand, amputate a man's hand because he stole a bottle of milk? You really think the Sharia is so shallow? Is that what you really think? You claim to be intellectual individuals, barristers of law, Queen's Counsel, High Court judges, you claim to be. Then read the Islamic law. The Islamic law also has a defense counsel, has a prosecution team, has the right for you to appeal, to reject, to present your evidence. And then after a long procedure, finally the judge may decide. After a long procedure, may decide to amputate your hand. It's not quite simply you stole a bottle of milk, and they try to perceive, and that's it, they decide to chop off the man's hand. Decide to stone a man to death? No. It's a very, very long procedure. You find the amount of futile killings that take place inside one of the states of the United States of America, in Chicago, just one state of the 52 blessed states that we find. the amount of futile killings that take place in 1 hour. That means a drug buy, warlords going past, drug barons going past, shoot anybody to shoot. The amount of people that get killed in 1 hour in one state of America. And it's not going to South Africa, what takes place there in certain parts of South Africa, or Cuba, or Mexico, or Pakistan as well now. What takes place there is equivalent to the amount of official executions that take place in Saudi Arabia in 1 year. Challenge that. Official execution in Saudi Arabia in 1 year is equivalent to the amount of futile killings of innocent people dying on the streets in gang warlord shootings that take place. And you're trying to question the Sharia. You're trying to say the Sharia has a barbaric element. You can even to this day, no matter what takes place, what people may say about Saudi Arabia, you can leave your Lamborghini. Leave it with your keys inside there. Go to McDonald's, eat something, come back, go to read your prayers, come back and sit in your ride and go home. Try that over here outside. Not even your tire prints will be left behind. So how did these concepts begin to enter into the Muslim lands or enter into our own lands? If we're supposed to be Muslim, we're supposed to be dominant. It's because this begins to be instilled, begins to be drummed into our forms of education, into our mind. That the Sharia is a figment of the mind, it doesn't exist. That begins to infiltrate, that we can see from whatever level, right from the top level down to the lower level, the upper hierarchy, right down to the average individual. That people have these superstitions or these incorrect concepts towards the Sharia and make us begin to develop towards a life of material progress. Not to say we're against material progress. We need the material progress. But we need even more so the spiritual progress. A ummah, a nation, a people is based upon its morality. When the morality begins to disappear, then you may as well give salam upon that nation. That is what we say to these nations. Salam upon these nations. وَعِبَادُ رَحْمَانَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That is Ibadur Rahman. Walking upon this land in a state of tranquility and peace. When the juhal, the ignorant individuals, they speak to them, or they throw tarnishes upon them, or they blame them, or they ask them, ridicule the Sharia. Just give salam to these people. Because we know that these people always be mocking and jesting at the Sharia, making it into a mockery. You find that when every time they go past the believers, sakhiru minhum, they laugh at them, make a joke about them. All until towards the end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin as well, you find making a mockery when they go past the believers. So that's the Quran here, it concludes by mentioning, فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ يَدْحَكُونَ. Today, let the believers laugh at the disbelievers. I'm sure most of you know the proverb, he who laughs last, laughs the longest. That's the day that the believers will laugh the longest. That this is the scoffing that you began to do upon this dunya, belittling these people who believe inside the Sharia. And as we need to begin to relive that vision once again, the Sharia has to be implemented beginning upon oneself. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Or you believe, save yourselves and save your family members from the hellfire. Whose fuel is that men and stones? Create that within ourselves. Create that inside our community. So it becomes a beacon of light towards these individuals when they see that. They see that these people are morally upright. They're living a good life. They're living a wholesome life. And they're happy. And they have tranquility. And they have peace. This begins to inspire within an average individual human being. What is creating that peace in these individuals? What are the teachings of peace? Al-Istislam. What is Al-Islam? Total submission. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Or you believe, enter into Islam in total submission to the best of your ability and don't follow the footsteps of the devil. So we begin to have that al-istislam, that total submission towards the teachings of the Qur'an and Sunnah. Begin to nourish ourselves with that. Nourish our children. Nourish our family members. Nourish the wider community. Begin to carry on that journey. Then eventually again, once again, people will have that love of the Sharia. People want to come back to that Sharia. To such a degree, it will happen that even that non-Muslims will say as well that we'd rather be governed by the Sharia, as I said at the time of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. Wanted him to judge amongst the disputes wanted him to take care of their affairs, because they saw that the justice of the Sharia, the justice that Islam gives, that what it brings about upon mankind, rather than for us to return back to the hukum of Jahiliyyah that some of us begin to return back to. So Islam cannot accept any form of pre-Islamic practices, either in its concept and the modes of living which are derived from this concept. Either Islam will remain, or the beliefs of Jahiliyyah will remain. Islam cannot agree to a situation which is half Islam or half Jahiliyyah. So the new types of isms, the 236 isms that you find, that Islam and communism, Islam and socialism, Islam and materialism, Islam and this, it's not allowed. Islam, as we began with, is a pure way of life. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. You have your deen, and we have our way of life. It's pure. You don't need to amalgamate the two. You don't need to mix the Sharia with all of these isms, with all of these thoughts and these concepts, to provide a better picture to these individuals of what Islam is. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us honor and dignity via al-Islam. You seek any other means of that dignity, that prestige, that honor, then you will be disgraced. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Glory, honor belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then His Messenger, then to the believers, but most of the hypocrites don't understand this. And unfortunately, we find so many around us selling their soul for a bowl of rice, is what we find. The believer should know, every single Muslim should know inside their heart, have that dream, have that vision, that the sending of the Qur'an, a large portion of the Qur'an, those 500 so ayat, which exist inside the Qur'an, which ulama of ahkamul Qur'an, classifies thuluthul Qur'an, a third of the Qur'an. How can only 500 ayat be a third of the Qur'an, when the Qur'an contains more than 6,000 ayat? Because those other ayat, they're repeated in nature. As for ayatul ahkam, they are all direct to the point. They never hardly ever repeated. They just discuss the affair. That's if I ulama wrote works of ahkam al-Qur'an, judging according to the Qur'an, legislation the Qur'an, what's halal in the Qur'an, what's haram in the Qur'an, what is extracted from the Qur'an, how to judge according to the Qur'an, how to punish according to the Qur'an, and likewise using the sunnah, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. We send down the dhikr upon you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to explain to mankind that which has been sent down upon them. So he explained that where the person's hand, where should it be amputated from? Which part of the wrist should it be taken from? Some minor ikhtilafat exist amongst the fuqaha. From where exactly? From which part? But the element is there. That a person, the male thief, the female thief, what should you do? This is the punishment that belongs to them. The people who follow a life of apostasy, the people who turn away from Islam, the people who blaspheme against Islam, the people who fornicate, the people who commit this action, the people who get drunk, etc. All the laws are there. They've been discussed, they've been laid out. We're not here in an onslaught in the Western world to come and impose these laws and regulations. They can live their life of freedom. You believe it's a world of tolerance, freedom of expression, freedom of belief, freedom of life, freedom of religion. So why are we not given that freedom of life? Why are we not given that freedom of religion? Why are we not given the freedom of the Sharia? That which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us is best for us individuals inside this dunya and likewise inside the akhirah as well. So we think that these man-made laws will begin to benefit the human being. Man-made laws are good. The laws that we find around us, which are placed, which are fawaid al-amma, general benefits, got nothing to do with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The use of the roads, al-turuqat, the paths, the electricity, the gas, whatever it may be, whatever fundamental principles you have of the law of the land, which don't go against the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muslims are observant of these qawaneen. Muslims are observant of them. We don't ever believe annahum kuffar, disbelievers, na'khud amwalahum, naqtulhum, we rob them, we kill them, we steal from them, we harm them, because they're kuffar, disbelievers. La yajuz al-mu'min. Not allowed for a Muslim to conduct himself in that manner. Not allowed for a Muslim to be treacherous in that type of manner. Shouldn't behave in that manner, and should not let those thoughts slip into their mind. Those qawaneen, la yukhalif shari'atana, don't go against our sharia, fa'ala al-mu'min awwalan an yutabbik hadhi al-qawaneen. Firstly, the mu'min, the believer, should be the first one to follow those rules and regulations that don't go against the sharia. If they go against the sharia, there's a total different discussion. But many of the qawaneen, the rules and regulations around us, they're simple. of benefits that benefit everybody, that we should follow those and accept them. But people begin to get all excited, begin to take their placards, begin to take their effigies, begin to take their burning flags, and begin to say this and begin to say that. This is nothing but fasad. This is fasad. This is corruption. This is belittling the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you really think that the people believed inside the Sharia, the people had a wrong, strong tamassuk with sunnah, do you really think they'd be able to paint pictures of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do you really think they'd be able to write articles about him? Do you really think that if we Muslims were dominant in our faith and sent out the right message of our faith, do you really think they'd have the courage? Even now they don't have the courage. They don't have the courage to openly say what they want to say. What their mouths say is not as great. وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ What their hearts conceal is far greater. They have to control that. Because obviously they know that they cannot come out totally out in the open and blaspheme against Al-Islam. So we should be wary about falling into the trap of the so-called civilized world of beginning to take ourselves away from that belief and that conviction. And who says that the Sharia is not civilized? The Islamic society is by its very nature the only civilized society. And all the other ways, the associates that you find in all their various forms are backward associates. They have no benefit at all. It is necessary to elucidate this great truth to the people. We need to come out and tell them that Islam is the way of life, the law, the legislation, which will benefit every single individual inside this dunya and likewise inside the akhirah as well. And likewise, لا إكراه في الدين. No compulsion in faith. فَمِنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ Whoever wants to believe, let him believe. Whoever wants to disbelieve, let him disbelieve. The only point that you have is they will live underneath paying the tax, the jizya, to the Muslim sovereign, to the Muslims in control and authority. And they will, like we pay today, the poll tax, the council tax to these people, they will pay the small amount, very minimal amount, they will pay that to the Muslim sovereign so they can enjoy their life. They can remain upon their faith. They can enjoy whatever they want to do inside those parameters that have been laid out for them. Not allowed to come publicly, etc., and express their faith, whatever it may be. So Islam is giving them that option. It's not compelling them that we are here with the sword in one hand and the Quran in the other hand. The Quran mentions Surah Al-Furqan, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا Fight with against them. With what? The AK-47? The Meccan Surah, the Meccan Ayah. Fight against them with what? With the Quran. Use the Quran against these people. The Quran mentions straight in the beginning, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَن تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ Quran says, if you have any doubt upon that which you sent down upon our servant, bring one surah like unto it. 1432 years have gone by. Bring one surah like unto it. And bring all your associates and your partners and your helpers besides Allah to help you. And what does the Quran say? You, it doesn't just say you can't do it. It said you can never ever do it. Lil abadiya, eternity. No one can create something like the Quran. Open challenge even today. Create something like the Quran. You can never ever create something like the Quran. Because that is the magnificent nature of the Quran. That is the greatest miracle, everlasting miracle that exists right now in front of us. That we should take the message of the Quran and deliver it to these people. Because we don't conquer, we don't enter into lands by bringing people down to their knees. Remember when you strike a man on his knees and you make him bleed, make him torture and put him down to the ground, you know what it creates? More hatred, more anger, more rebellion. That's what it creates. You can never ever make a man submit by forcing him to his knees. You know how we submit a man to his knees? Is by going into his heart. And his knees don't submit to us. His knees submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Objective has been created. That's what Islam is. We're not here to force people or to compel them or to condemn them or to impress upon them that this is the way of life you have to follow. This is what you have to do if you want to be successful. This is what you have to follow in your life to have tranquility, to have that inside your life. No. We present it to them. This is what Islam says. Follow this and automatically everything will be given to you. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ If the people of the village, they believe, we'll rip open the heavens and the earth for them. These are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, because the Quran mentions, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Let them worship the Lord of this house. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. The one who takes away their hunger and gives them peace and tranquility. That's how simple al-Islam is. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will change your state of affair from poverty, from hunger, the droughts we suffer in our lands, the hardships, the turmoil, the corruption. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعد الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Facade corruption has appeared upon the land and the oceans, what man has done with his own hands. You may taste your own earnings, and you may return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the end of Surah At-Tawbah, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّهُمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنَ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَا هُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Don't you people visualize? Don't you see? Once or twice in a year, we throw calamities and hardships upon you, that you may repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you may pay heed. That is the sending of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You begin to move away from the teachings of Quran and Sunnah. You begin to move away from the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then unfortunately, it may sound very harsh and difficult, but calamities and difficulties will begin to take place upon this Muslim ummah. And the only way for them to return back is to return back. حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ. You turn back to your deen in every form, in every manner, to implement that to the best of your ability. To conclude with one of the mufakkirun, one of the thinkers who wrote these words about the Sharia, and that can be your homework to go and discover who the words of this individual, who this individual was. We need not rationalize Islam to them, need not appease their desires and distorted concepts. We will be extremely outspoken with them. The ignorance in which you are living makes you impure, and Allah wants to purify you. The customs which you follow are defiling, and Allah wants to cleanse you. The life you are living is low, and Allah wants to uplift you. The condition which you are in is troublesome, depressing, and base, and Allah wants to give you ease, mercy, and goodness. Allah will change your concepts, your modes of living, and your values, will raise you to another life, so that you will look upon the life you are now living with disgust, will show you modes of living, such that you will look upon all other modes, whether Eastern or Western, with contempt, and will introduce you to values such that you will look upon all current values and the world with disdain. And if because of the sorry state you are in, you cannot see the true picture of the Islamic life, since your enemies, the enemies of this religion, are all united against the establishment of this way of life, against its taking a practical form, then let us show it to you and thank Allah its picture is in our hearts, seen through the windows of our Quran, of our Sharia, of our history, of our concept of the future whose coming we do not doubt. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَلِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَكُمْ وَبِحَمْدِكُمْ شَرَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكُمْ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ.